Hey everyone, thanks for subscribing. We can't wait to share our show with you. But first, we have to ask, how much sleep did you get last night? Getting enough sleep and waking up on time aren't easy, but they can be. The sleep experts at Mattress Firm can help. They have the widest selection of America's best-selling brands, and they have beds for every budget, everybody, and everybody. Go to mattressfirm.com/podcast and save 10% with the code podcast10. And if online shopping isn't your thing, Mattress Firm stores are in your neighborhood, so better sleep is right around the corner, literally. When it comes to packing your kids' lunchbox in the morning, the struggle is real. You might not have time to cut fruit in star shapes, but you can still be a hero with Kind Kids Bars. Kind Kids Bars have 25% less sugar than the leading kids' granola bar and come in flavors kids love, like chewy chocolate chip and chewy honey oat. Now that's a lunchbox win. Friends, I will tell you, I've given chewy chocolate chip to my grandkids and they love them. And you know what? So do I. To get 20% off your order of Kind Kids Bars, go to kindsnacks.com/Meg and enter code Meg at checkout. That's kindsnacks.com/Meg with code Meg at checkout for this special offer. For 30 plus years, I've seen every type of child grow up.
Instead of giving me what I wanted, she gave me what I needed, which was truth.
Don't let emotions win. Let truth win.
Do your very best, and you should have a lot of fun while you do it. And the better you get at something, the more fun you're going to have at something.
You moms and dads are wired with everything you need to be a parent to a great kid. Welcome to Parenting Great Kids. This is episode number 60. I can't believe it. I'm your host, Dr. Meg Meeker, and today we're going to be continuing an interview that I had with Victor Marx about post-traumatic stress disorder. Victor Marx is founder and president of All Things Possible. He's been working with troubled youth for two decades. Victor's a motivational speaker, a master of martial arts, and a former U.S. Marine. Because of his own troubled youth growing up in the foster care system, Victor has the heart to help kids everywhere. Victor and ATP Ministries have partnered with teams on the ground in the Middle East to provide support for women and children who've just been released from ISIS. Victor has successfully completed many high-risk missions and is organizing more. As always in this podcast, I'll share my points to ponder. And parents, as a reminder, don't just download the episodes, click subscribe. Because when you do that, you're joining my parenting revolution and every new episode will show up in your subscribed list. I promise you won't regret it. And remember, I'd love for you to write us a review on iTunes and let me know what you think of the podcast. Not only are we on iTunes, but the Parenting Great Kids podcast is available in the Google Play Store and on Stitcher. So no matter where you get your podcasts, subscribe today so you won't miss a single episode. Friends, do you ever feel like you have weights on your shoulders and you just don't enjoy parenting? Many of us feel that way and we just don't want to admit it to our friends. The truth is, this is most likely due to the fact that your kids may not be listening to you or helping out around the house. I can help. Check out my new and revised and improved awesome Discipline with Courage and Kindness on my website. You can love parenting more and you can feel less stressed. My goal with the course is to help you lighten your load, and I know this will help. So parents, thanks for listening. This is episode number 60. Stay with us. Now my points to ponder. One, learn the symptoms of PTSD. You know, many parents have PTSD and find themselves erupting in anger at their kids, yelling, acting irrationally, you know, maybe criticizing their kids or even withdrawing from their kids and family. If you feel that you do this And there are some issues you have with anger and fear, criticism or withdrawal. Get some help. It may be PTSD and you can get better. Victor suffered horrific abuse and has received tremendous healing. His life literally turned around so that he can do what he does today. And he had some horrifying stories to tell about what happened to him as a child. You can heal from PTSD too. So if you think you may have it, don't wait another day. Go to a good friend, find a counselor, even go to your internist and tell them what's going on. There is help available. Two, pay attention to the possibility of PTSD in your kids. You know, most people think of PTSD as occurring after major trauma like war or death or violence. But other things can cause PTSD, and there are different levels of PTSD. This is especially true in kids. For instance, many children who are sexually abused have PTSD, but most kids won't talk about it or admit it because they're embarrassed. They feel ashamed and they won't even admit it to their parent. So if you see signs of irritability, poor sleep, irrational fears, anger outbursts in your kids, get them some help. Many parents slough these symptoms off as, quote, a stage the child is going through. But realize that these things done consistently over time are not normal. They're not a stage. Third, don't fear PTSD. Act. One of the worst things about PTSD isn't always the original trauma. It's what we do with that trauma. Most traumas make us feel fearful or ashamed, and these cause people to ignore the hurt or pretend that it really didn't happen. Kids who are yelled at frequently, put down by a parent or bullied, feel embarrassment, shame, and fear. Their instincts are to tuck it away in their minds and refuse to talk about it or to deal with it. But this never works. One of the most important things you as a parent can do for yourself or a loved one with PTSD is confront it. Nothing can be overcome unless it's brought into the light, examined, and dealt with. So don't be afraid of PTSD. Do something about it. You'll never regret it. I want you now to listen in on the second part of the conversation I had with Victor Marks. I know you're really going to enjoy this. Well, Victor, thanks so much for coming back and talking with me about PTSD in American families.
It's a privilege to be able to visit with you and hopefully encourage and give some folks hope.
Yes, yes. So you experienced PTSD because you experienced abuse at the hands of one of your stepfathers, tremendous amount of abuse. And as you said in our last podcast, that drove you to do a lot of self-harm and kind of self-destruct, and then your life changed. And a lot of families in America, you know, you talked about working with refugee women and children in Syria and Iraq, but there are many parents listening in the U.S. who experienced PTSD, either as adults or children. Can you explain what the symptoms of PTSD are and how somebody would know if they have it?
You bet. We just finished a film called Triggered 2, T-O-O. We made two films, one for a military version and one for civilians. And people can actually go to TriggeredTheMovie.com and watch it free or one of our social media platforms. Trauma affects all people to varying degrees. Most people associate the term post-traumatic stress disorder with the military, but it also affects, you know, our first responders, police, you know, EMT, that are in, because the human mind can only take so much. The psyche can only take so much before it starts to reflect, you know, what it's encountered. So when we start talking about conditions or behavioral patterns or whatnot, I tell people this, you know, PTSD can come for just a moment and you can work through it. Or if it stays for a longer period of time and it starts to affect you, then your behavior will tell on you. A lot of people often hypervigilant. You know, if you've experienced abuse or been in situations like we talk about combat or, you know, I mean, I was in Mosul during the liberation against ISIS on a couple of occasions, being shot at, mortared. That affects you, right? But think about America, the number of shootings, the number of violent acts, the number of kids and gangs, violent deaths, but even rape and abuse, mm-hmm. whatever will affect the mind in a way that it's hard to process, people start seeing, you know, you deal with moodiness, you deal with fear, anxiety, mm-hmm. panic attacks. Did you know that Harvard did a study, was trying to figure out why some veterans actually have more acute PTSD than others? And they found a direct link to childhood abuse. Mm-hmm. Because as a child, you can't process, you know, when bad things are happening. You try, but you can't.
Exactly. And one of the things that I try to impress on parents as well is that, well, a couple of things. You know, first of all, you can have PTSD by watching things, not yes. necessarily experience things. So a child who watches a mother get beaten, a child who watches dad driving around drunk, a child who watches right. painful, frightening situations at home will have PTSD as well, even though they didn't themselves get abused. The other thing with children is this, when they experience bad things in their home, because they can't process it, like you were saying, and go, gee whiz, my dad is acting badly, or gee whiz, you know, my dad shouldn't hit my mother. A child, because they're very egocentric, believes that there's something they can do to change it. And so they come to believe that it's their fault, they need to do something, and they take this enormous burden on. And you can't explain that out of a child until they're an adult.
Right.
And that's why a lot of kids who go through a divorce, watch their parents divorce, blame themselves because they genuinely believe in their heart, because where they are developmentally, that they can change the situation. So when you have this kind of trauma, they have children had the extra level of, I should have gotten away. I should have not made my stepfather do that. I should have behaved better. And that just takes the PTSD, from what I see, that much deeper and harder to reconcile in children. Has that been your experience?
Agreed with you 100%. And as someone who's suffered as a kid, abuse, you think, you know, the statistics vary, but 1 in 3 girls will be sexually assaulted by the time she's 18, 1 in 5 or 6 boys. That's an epidemic. I mean, you know, if you're in a room or in a church setting or work, there's people who have been abused, whether okay. sexually and physically, emotionally, and they're going to start to not respond appropriately, but they tend to react. And I tell people, when you're reacting far greater than the offense, then something's driving you to that. And that's when, and people know it too. You know, I remember when I was in the Marine Corps, I was in the chow line, and some guy, he just stepped on my boot. We were close, and, you know, I'd spit on my boots or whatnot. And when he stepped on me, I took a tray, a little, you know, it was either plastic or metal tray, and smacked him across his face. Mm. And he was a Marine, so, you know, he recovered quickly. But, you know, people were like, hey, what the heck? And I was like, oh, yeah, don't step on my boot. Completely, you know, disproportionate to the offense. Getting cracked across the face, even for a Marine. So I think a lot of times people don't like the behaviors that they have as they start getting older. I think about, even while they're younger, a 12-year-old girl whose stepfather had raped her, the mother actually walked in on it, called the police, and, you know, thank goodness he got sentenced to prison. But she she was pulling her eyebrows out, her hair. I mean, she was violent outbursts, all these things that weren't characteristic for her. And the mother was trying to get help, but someone gave her my book. I think she read it twice, she said, and then watched my film. When I met with her, just as a friend, not a counselor, just because of a physician in the area, said, Vic, if you could really just meet this gal. When I did, we talked about a few things. I helped just kind of course correct the direction they were going, hearing the symptoms. And, you know, 2 weeks later, in that particular case, they called us and said she got off all of her meds. And now, you know, she's in high school and she's applying to go to West Point. So I want to give people hope that regardless of your current situation and whether you're trying to treat yourself with, you know, being your own pharmacist through drugs or alcohol, or if your children or child is just spiraling, don't give up. That's the key thing. Don't give up on this process or journey, because at times you feel like you want to. And crazy thoughts don't make you crazy. The way to be, right?
That's a great line. You're absolutely right. Crazy thoughts don't make you crazy, because if crazy thoughts did, we'd be having a pretty wild podcast interview right here with me, you know. So just so for parents can really sort of drill down on this, because I really want to help parents recognize whether they might have PTSD and then also what to do in helping their children and the children have it. So if a parent is feeling sort of hypervigilant, or they're always on guard looking for somebody to hurt them, or they're always on edge, or they're a parent who's sort of really hard on their kids or very militant on their kids, or they're yelling at the kids, or in other words, they're taking things out on family members that are really disproportionate to the offense of the other family member. I'm thinking of, you know, fathers who might sort of go off the rails because their son, you know, made a mess in the kitchen and now he's grounded for a whole month, or the dad's screaming, you know, or nightmares, or just this irritability that feels sort of out of control. If a parent were feeling like, gee whiz, you know, maybe I have some unresolved trauma in my life, what would you recommend for that parent, Victor? What would be the next step?
I would say have the courage to just do a self-assessment. Sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, or get on your laptop and start trying to remember things in your life that cause you stress, you know, and keep going back until you write down, you know, a car accident, or, you know, yeah, I watched my dad beat my mom as a kid. Just keep writing down memories and things that bother you. Just write them down. Just don't try to process.
No matter how big or how small. Because PTSD in one person, I mean, one person may call trauma, you know, being told they were stupid over and over by a parent. They may say, well, that wasn't really trauma, but it was trauma.
Yep,
so it doesn't have to necessarily be, oh, I was beaten or I was raped.
Right.
It could be constant criticism. It could be fear.
Yeah.
Many things, correct?
Absolutely. And here's the deal. When you start talking about PTSD or trauma, this is not an issue of spirituality, whether you're spiritual enough. It's not whether you're brave enough, because trust you me, I mean, I have friends and colleagues that have done things people can't even imagine regarding hunting monsters down. And you know, you can't judge them because of their lack of courage or anything. It's the way your mind responds to trauma. And it's actually appropriate responses to the craziness you saw or went through. And getting it reset and changing some patterns of thinking and getting help, you know, that's the next step. But first, just start writing stuff down. Be reflective. Ask, if you're a Christian, ask the Lord to help you. you know, say, God, why do I act like this? What am I not remembering or not wanting to remember or minimizing? And I remember a friend of mine, he was actually a pretty well-known TV personality, and we were talking, and he was a larger-than-life guy. But he said his dad, on the way home, pulled the car over and told him, son, I will never leave your mom. We don't get along good, but I will never leave your mom. And then he said 2 weeks later, his dad left. And for him, he just couldn't reconcile it. He could, like you said earlier, what could he have done different? Couldn't stop it. And that just destroyed him as a young kid. Never to trust, never, you know. So we live in a pretty fallen world. And if God and Christ didn't have the ability to redeem the evil and the injustices of life, I'll tell you what, it would be absolutely, it'd be hopelessness here. So, but with God and Christ, his word, with people who help, doctors, counselors, great books or films that have been written so people can get help, there is hope and there's help, and people just need not give up.
And that's what I really want to encourage listeners. You know, PTSD comes in all sort of flavors and shapes and sizes and colors. And there is treatment. There is help. There is hope. And this is coming from, you know, a man. If people didn't listen to the first podcast, you've seen incredible evil. I mean, you've seen darkness that we most of us have never seen. When you work with women and children who have just escaped the hands of ISIS, who've been raped and mutilated and harmed, and to even go and see help and hope and healing in people who have PTSD on a completely different level, and if it works and God is there to help them, certainly we can, in the United States, who have PTSD of different sorts, can equally find the same amount of help and hope.
Absolutely. Remember, getting help from trauma, it's about freedom. It's about freedom.
Yes.
And Jesus came to set the captives free, not only physically, because we've seen that happen, but emotionally. Yeah, and that's the deal. I want people never to give up. Or stay stuck in a pattern of just craziness that ebbs the life from them, that robs them of what, you know, of what it should be. But you know what? Again, they can watch one of our films that are online free that will give so much information. It shares stories of real people, from the military and civilians, moms to children. And it gives the different approaches for what has worked for different people, right? Because it's definitely not a one-size-fits-all. But I encourage people to go to triggeredthemovie.com or just victormarks.com and follow the links, because that is an unbelievable starting point.
Parents, I hope you're enjoying my conversation with Victor Marks. We need to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more of my conversation with Victor Marks. Moms and dads, nobody knows your child better than you do. You know they love spinach, hate those scratchy purple socks, and only wear green on Wednesdays. But do you know if their development is on track? Now there's a free app to find out, developed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. As you well know, your child is growing, learning, and blowing your mind with new things they can do every day. It can be hard to keep up, but keeping track of how your child plays, learns, speaks, acts, and moves for their age gives important clues about developmental health. Luckily, CDC's free Milestone Tracker app has lots of fun and helpful features. It has milestone checklists for 2 months to 5 years, with photos and videos to show what each milestone can look like in real life. The app helps you recognize and celebrate your own child's milestones, gives you tips and activities to help support their development, and even gives reminders for upcoming appointments, checklists, and developmental screenings, all in one free parent-friendly app. Visit the App Store or Google Play to download CDC's free Milestone Tracker app today. Knipe is the plant-based solution to self-care. Knipe has been creating plant-based vegan products for the last 125 years. Knipe products are dermatologist tested and recommended, cruelty-free, paraben-free, and do not contain any preservatives, paraffins, or silicone and mineral oils. All products are processed gently and tested comprehensively to ensure optimal efficacy and skin tolerance. Knipe was awarded the Green Brand Seal for the third time in 2017 as recognition for their environmentally sound production practices and their strong commitment to sustainability. Knipe offers a wide variety of products like mineral bath salts, herbal bath oils, foot care, and more. And friends, I love Knipe products. They're gentle enough to use on my youngest grandchildren and effective enough to use on my dry, very sensitive skin. For 15% off your first order, go to Knipe.com and use promo code parenting at checkout. That's Kneipp.com and promo code parenting for 15% off your first order. Even if there's a parent listening who thinks, I don't know if I have PTSD, watching your movies and learning about what you do can really help them figure that out, right? Because I think, you know, as many people grow up and minimize trauma, oh, that's not a big deal. And I think perhaps boys do it more than girls, I'm not sure, because girls, as they go through childhood and teenage years, we talk to other girlfriends. What do you think? My dad said this. My mom said this. But boys tend to sort of hunker down and internalize all of that. And I think that a lot of times as children, we say, well, you know what, that's not a big deal, or that wouldn't have bothered my brother. Why in the world should it bother me? It doesn't matter. Our hearts are wired to feel.
Right.
And as you said earlier, when the feelings are too intense or they're too persistent or we're just overwhelmed with feeling, your brain kind of shuts it all down and said, no, we can't do this anymore. It goes into survival mode. And so you really withdraw or
shut down.
Shut down. And that's really where the PTSD gets you, because it's living with PTSD that is not healed or resolved is really like living in an emotional and mental prison. The problem is people don't know they're in the prison until they say, sometimes, like you said, just sitting down and taking out a piece of paper and taking out a pen. But even for some people, just doing that exercise could be terrifying.
Right.
Because they don't want to look back and see what they need to see.
Right. Well, case in point, my wife and I, when we were engaged, she sent out the wedding invitations. She came to my apartment, and I'll never forget, you know, this is exciting and da-da-da, and I wasn't having any response. I went from being this loving, romantic, excited guy to just flatlined. And she asked me, she said, what's wrong? Are you getting cold feet? And I said, Eileen, I don't have cold feet. I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. Joy, happiness, sadness. I can't feel. And she was so stunned. And you know what? That was the first time that I said, all right, she goes, baby, you need to talk to somebody. And sure enough, it went back to my mother when I was in seventh grade. My mother, bless her heart, she got drunk, had a fifth of whiskey in her hand, walking down the hall of our small little house to go out, you know, with a potential suitor. She grabs me by my shirt, pulls me real close to her, and she said, don't ever trust women. They'll just use you and leave you. And then she pushed me against the wall. my head hit the wall, which kind of concreted everything in. And I remember saying, yes, ma'am. To me, that was the sound wisdom sacred from my mom to a little boy's heart. So here I am going to get married. And that's what I remembered.
And I will tell you, Victor, there's so many women that feel that way towards men.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's fear. Mm-hmm. You know, men don't have the fear of being physically hurt by women.
No, right.
Many women, they don't want to admit it, but it's true, live with the fear of, you know, we feel very vulnerable physically to men. And this is what I try to tell a lot of teen girls dating. Look, that's the way it is. This guy's 50 pounds heavier than you. He has, you know, he has testosterone and his muscles are bigger. And so, and there's this real fear. And then you go to have an intimate relationship with this person in marriage. And all the red flags come out and go, no, we don't. You're not going there. And a lot of it is because of maybe PTSD or messages that we were given loud and clear from our parents to us as kids. It's like, no, you don't go there.
Right. Well, you know, my wife is a good example of that. She saw her mother. My wife's the baby of 8 kids, right? She's actually a twin, but her father was a Marine and had been in combat, and he was a horrible drunk early in life, and she would listen and watch him beat her mom. And she would always, in her little child heart, say, fight him back, fight back. Never happened. So when she gets married, you know, and we have any type of confrontation, she was aggressive toward me.
Right.
She's going to stand up for her mom. And it actually took her sitting down and talking through that to go, oh my gosh, I've been redirecting or transferring my anger from my dad on you, Victor. Yeah. I was like,
yes. And I'm fighting for my mother. So it's very complicated. But Victor, I think the message to many of our listeners is many of us, most of us, sort of reenact a lot of that on a major scale or a minor scale. We do it with our spouses and we do it with our children. And when we do that, it's not fair to us and it's not fair to our families because we're living out the pains and the sins of childhood. This has just been a wonderful, wonderful time. Victor, I could sit here and I could ask you questions for a couple more hours too. One of the things that we didn't even talk about that our listeners don't know is that you are an exquisite master martial arts guy. I don't know what the highest level of martial arts is, but I know that you're a head above Chuck Norris, and in my book, that's a pretty big deal. And I know that you're an outstanding martial artist. And I would encourage everybody, if nothing else, if you don't want to listen to your wisdom, at least go and YouTube you taking guns out of people's hands. It's really like something people have never are going to see. That's just sort of an aside. But Victor, there's so many people that I know would like to hear more from you and watch your movies and read some of the things. So can you tell our listeners how they can find you?
You bet. We're all over social media. And if they just Google Fastest Gun Disarm Man, you know, between everything, I guess we're over 100 million views. Some of them may have already seen it and not know it's us. And actually, I learned that gun disarm from Chuck Norris, so he's like the legend. We use it to get people's attention and then share things that matter to help make champions in life. But they can always go to victormarks.com, our home page, for our website, or, you know, any of the social medias. We're on Facebook, Instagram, all of that. So would love to hear from people, love to help them.
Absolutely. Well, God bless, Godspeed. He is doing great, great things for you. And I really, as I said, I encourage everybody who's listening to, you know, to check out your materials, either if they suspect they have PTSD themselves or in their children, or if they're interested in helping you help the women and children who have just been freed up from the horrific hands of ISIS. Victor, thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you, Dr. Meeker. This has been great. I look forward to visiting.
All right, parents, let's get social. I want to hear from you and interact with you. You can always connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at MegMeekerMD, or if you have a question, send it to askmeg@megmeekermd.com. Today I have a question from Martina. Hi, Dr. Meg. My name is Martina and I'm 23 years old, married for 4 years and 9 months, and I'm pregnant with a son. My husband left me and the state with another woman before finding out I was pregnant. When he found out, he returned, but has been continuing to see this woman and is pursuing a divorce after I give birth to our son. I've been very clear with him that I'm willing to attempt to repair the marriage for our family. He doesn't feel the same. He grew up without a father, so he's very nonchalant about his involvement, and like many men, doesn't see how important fatherhood is. Also, the other woman has expressed disdain at becoming a stepmother. I know I can't realistically keep my child away from her. My question is, how do I go about making him understand how important it is not only to be a family, but for him to be there at the very least for our child? Well, Martina, this is a very difficult situation. And unfortunately, you're in a situation that many women are in. Fathers, whether they're in the home or out of the home, simply don't understand how critically important they are in a children's life. While you can't change him, and no one can change another person, you can try to motivate him. This is best done through encouragement, not criticism. And this is tough. Here's what I recommend you try. One, say to him, I know it must have been tough for you not having a father when you were growing up, but I know you can break that pattern for our child and give him what you never got. Also, ask him to go to your doctor appointments. Get him as involved in your pregnancy as you possibly can. Third, talk to him about how you look forward to seeing what he can give your child and be specific. Love, affection, affirmation. Tell him that every child looks up to his dad and you know that your child will see him as larger than life. Four, remember your story isn't written. It's hard for parents, particularly fathers, to bond with their children until the baby's born. His mind could change after he sees and holds the baby. Five, ask him to be in the delivery room with him. Tell them that you need his support. Ask him to be involved with as many things as you can regarding the baby before he's born, finding a crib, getting diapers, etc. And finally, be kind rather than putting him down. Men need to feel respected in order to respond to suggestions. I know this is hard for you because you're angry and disappointed, and rightly so, but do your best. I have another question from Marie. Dear Dr. Meg, my third child is a boy. He is 4 and 3 months. He's perfectly trained for urinating during the day and night. He never has accidents. However, he has never had a bowel movement in the toilet before. He has a bowel movement every day in a pull-up while sitting on the toilet. It took us about 9 months to work toward that goal because he has so much anxiety about going. I've tried bribing him and rewards, and he doesn't seem interested. The few times we've removed the pull-ups from the situation, he's held his poop for 4 days, crying and moaning the last 12 hours of the experience. We recently went to a doctor, but I wasn't sure I wanted to go that route. I believe his problem is psychological, not medical. He's been on 1 tablespoon of Miralax inconsistently for about 3 months. Here's my question. Do you think it's okay for him to continue to use a pull-up to do a bowel movement at this age? And if not, do you think he could benefit from psychological therapy or a gastrointestinal clean-out? Marie. Marie, believe it or not, your son's hesitation really isn't that abnormal. There's several reasons a child wouldn't want to have a bowel movement in the toilet. The most common one is that he's had 1 or 2 bad experiences pooping, even in his diaper, and is holding back because he doesn't want it to hurt. Many boys hold their poop and they get very constipated. It's not that uncommon. Second, he may be afraid of the toilet. Some children feel insecure sitting on the toilet, fearing that something bad will happen if they poop in it. This is hard for us to imagine, but it's true. Three, he may want privacy. If you watch children who are even in diapers, many find privacy to poop. They run in a corner, hide under the table, etc. And if you think about it, most people, even adults, want privacy. So your son may feel uncomfortable with someone else in the bathroom with him. Also, he knows what you want him to do, and now he feels pressure. Here's my recommendation. Leave him alone for a while. Stop pressuring him to poop on the toilet. Pushing him will only backfire. I also encourage you not to send him to counseling. This is a functional problem, not a psychological one. If he were 5 or 6 or 7, that would be a different story. Finally, increase the Miralax to 1 capful at night in juice or water and give it to him every night. You want his poops to be almost runny so that pooping is extremely easy and he doesn't have to work at it. Parents, I love answering your questions, so please keep sending them to me. You can email me any parenting question to askmeg@megmeekermd.com. Again, askmeg@megmeekermd.com. I want to thank my guest, Victor Marks. Check out his awesome website at victormarks.com. And now let's recap my points to ponder. First, learn the symptoms of PTSD. Second, pay attention to the possibility of PTSD in your kids, even if they haven't suffered a major trauma. And third, don't be afraid of PTSD. Act. So until next time, parents, remember, great kids are raised, not born.
Hey, this is Bobby, producer of Meg Meeker's Parenting Great Kids podcast. We hope you've enjoyed listening to episode 60, Dealing with Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. And thanks to you, Dr. Meg's Parenting Revolution has grown to over 2 million downloads. You can like Dr. Meeker on Facebook and follow her on Twitter and Instagram at MegMeekerMD. As a reminder, go to MegMeekerMD.com and sign up for her newsletter for giveaway opportunities and updates. And don't forget to share the podcast, write us a review, and click subscribe so you won't miss an episode.